The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show for a Friday. And we're going to start the show out a little bit differently than we normally do. There's a story I want to tell you about from Auburn University, and this is a big deal. We talk a lot on the radio program about the cancel culture movement. We've talked a lot about how white young people in particular are being targeted by this angry mob out there. And one of the things we've committed to do on this radio program is to cover those kinds of stories. And we believe it's important that when students are coming under attack for their beliefs, whether they be political beliefs or religious beliefs, we believe it's important to stand alongside those individuals. And so I want to start out today by telling you a story that is not going to be in the mainstream media. And honestly, I'm fairly certain nobody in talk radio is talking about this particular story. And ironically, it involves a young man who is from Memphis, Tennessee. His name is Stephen Morris. And he is probably, based on the information I've read about this kid, one of the most decent human beings on the planet. I mean, this is a good kid. He is a devout Christian. He is also a conservative. He believes in the Bible's teachings on things like gender. And he also stands staunchly opposed to critical race theory. And he believes that we are all made in the image of God. So this kid is also a brilliant scholar. And he was nominated to be the Chief Justice of the university's legal system. And through that process, he had to be confirmed by the Student Government Association Senate. So he had been nominated to be the Chief Justice of the Student Government Association. It's a huge honor there at Auburn University. And this morning, someone sent me this story, and I sat and watched several hours of debate as students on the Student Government Association basically lynched this white kid. And we just call it like it is here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Most of this young man's attackers were, in fact, people of color. So here you had black students at Auburn University conducting a political lynching of a white student. It was one of the more sickening things I've ever seen, I've ever heard, at least in the last 20 years. It was just appalling. This young man from Memphis, Tennessee, spent most of his high school career actually writing grants to help inner city schools. He volunteered his time in inner city neighborhoods to help students of color. And yet here was this young man who was literally torn apart by Black Lives Matter supporters and the LGBT crowd. And at the end of the day, they determined that this young man was not qualified to be the Student Government Association's Chief Justice because of his religious beliefs and his conservative political beliefs. I want to read to you, we're going to do a lot of reading here in this segment of the program, because this is important. You need to understand what's happening in our country right now. You need to understand what is about to even get worse in this country. because at Auburn University, they told this young man, first of all, you are a white person. Second, you're a Christian man. Third, you're a conservative. Therefore, you are not qualified. Those things literally disqualify you from office. One of the senators, Brandon Belzer, a student of color, said, I believe that a candidate on this slate is unfit to serve. They would not judge without bias because of some of the things that he had written on Twitter. And I want to read some of those things to you. This is absolutely appalling. If you go to Auburn University, if you're an alum, you ought to pull every single bit of your donations, every single bit, and you ought to tell them why. It's despicable. And we're going to try to get Mr. Morris on the show, hopefully sometime next week. Mr. Morris said that I find my identity in Christ, and I believe that my Christian beliefs and Christian doctrine do indeed promote the absolute highest level attainable of human flourishing. By the way, that statement, the students, the leftist students at Auburn say that should disqualify him from serving. So here are some of the things that got him in trouble. So Stephen Morris of Memphis, Tennessee, a student at Auburn University, wrote this on Twitter, and I believe he shared this tweet. Personal responsibility, not more government, is the key to escaping poverty in America. Only about 2% of adults who follow these three simple rules are in poverty. Number one, finish high school. Number two, get a full-time job. Number three, wait until age 21 to get married and have children. And the students there at Auburn exploded in rage. How dare you? How dare you say something like that? Cut number seven, please.
A member of this Senate gave an example of an unbiased opinion of from Morris. I would like to give two counterexamples of biased opinions. And these are direct quotes that he tweeted, not retweeted, from his Twitter. For reference, just in Connecticut, two biological males set 17 new records competing against females. First quote. Second quote. It's worth noting that the trans athlete debate only involves trans women, in quotation marks, biological men, competing in women's sports. I wonder why we never hear debate on trans men, biological women, competing in men's sports. These are two specific examples of biased opinion against trans people, members of the LGBT community. I would also like to address a statement made by a member of this meeting tonight that, yes, we do have free speech, but that does not necessarily mean freedom from consequence. And so we are here tonight to discuss this consequence and why Stephen Morris is not fit to be Chief Justice. Yes, we have different political beliefs, but I do not believe that these biases against specific members of this community could be classified as political. We have members of this community on Auburn's campus, and if we consider ourselves to be an Auburn family, we have to cater to everyone. And if you appoint this man as Chief Justice, that is, you're setting the precedence, since we're like to use that term, we're setting the precedence that these ideas and beliefs are okay for people to hold in positions of power. You have a lot of minority people speaking here against this person. And so I would urge you to listen to these voices.
So that was a transgender student, if you couldn't tell. And the transgender student was very upset because here's this guy's philosophy. Stephen Morris, he was finally allowed to defend himself. I mean, this was an inquisition. This was a kangaroo court. As a matter of fact, he tried to explain himself to one of the students of color, one of the senators of color. And the senator of color jumped in and said, you don't get to mention my name. You never mention my name. Folks, I'm telling you, if Stephen Morris had been a black student, this would be national news coverage right now. What they did to this young man at Auburn University. And I don't care what color anybody, nobody deserves to go through what they just went through at Auburn University. Cut number 10, please.
I am not confident in the approval for Stephen Morris as Chief Justice. I think that it's just unfortunate that we still have people who still think these negative thoughts about people that really don't look like them and don't really understand what their life has been like or will ever be like, considering that they can't step in their shoes and have just thoughts of just negativity towards them. And it's really just disheartening to see that, we as Auburn students aren't taking such a stand by even allowing this to even get this far.
All right. So one of the other things they got upset about, he wrote this about Black Lives Matter. He says, if you say Black Lives Matter but ignore black-on-black murder, you are a ridiculous hypocrite. And again, what they did was, and this is a standard operating procedure. They do this to me all the time, but I don't care. I'll fight back. They actually went through and pulled up all of his old tweets. And this is why I tell, you know, I've told the youngsters in the Stearns family, get off of the social media. Don't do the Twitter. It'll come back and haunt you. It'll bite you. Here's something else he wrote. Black Lives Matter terrorists have taken the position that police officers should simply allow themselves to be killed by violent criminals. That's right. He says this is unsurprising considering they believe police lives don't matter. Furthermore, these inhumane animals celebrate their deaths pure evil. They say that disqualifies him from being the Chief Justice. So look, Stephen Morris, I listened to this guy's testimony for a good 40 minutes, and just a decent kid. Here's Stephen Morris trying to defend himself against this mob. Cut 11.
You know, another saying, it won't be black versus white in heaven, and it doesn't have to be here either. Each of us was intricately created by God. So as my actions have repeatedly demonstrated, I'm really... I try to be non-biased, try to help everyone out, love others. I know Black Lives Matter and critical race theory and all of those ideologies are very interested. And people have mentioned today about intersectionality and group identity. And obviously critical race theory teaches one of the core tenets is, you know, there's oppressors and the oppressed. And I don't see it that way. I define everyone by the content of their character, not the color of their skin or their income level or what may have you. And I personally, I find my identity in Christ, and I believe that my Christian beliefs and the Christian doctrine do indeed promote the absolute highest level attainable of human flourishing. Now, I mean, y'all are more than welcome to disagree with that, and I'm not here to get in a political debate with you, but I just want to kind of answer some of your concerns. And free speech doesn't mean anything if you don't defend the speech you hate. So I defend all of y'all's rights to criticize me and attack me and totally disagree with me. I support you all day.
That's a good man right there. He's going to be a great American one day. Standing up, he did the best he could. But at the end of the day, the mob was just, I mean, they've got a bunch of leftists controlling the student government there at Auburn University. You say, Todd, why are you talking? Why is this the biggest story of the day? It's the biggest story of the day because this is what's happening on the national stage right now. And you're telling me that this young man should be disqualified from service simply because of the color of his skin? He's a white guy. Because of his religious beliefs, he's a Christian man. Because of his political beliefs, he's a conservative man. Are you telling me that this is where we are in America right now? Yes, I am telling you that. That is exactly where we are. There are people who sincerely believe, and I know because I just watched 2 hours of testimony, these people sincerely believe that white Christian men who are conservative do not have a place in leadership at Auburn University. Now, you let that sink in because we're talking about a Southeastern Conference school. We're talking about a school in Alabama. We're talking about a school in one of the most conservative states in America. And that school is now telling us that this kind of lynch mob is okay, that it's all right to send a mob of students of color to politically lynch a white student. That's okay? You heard Stephen Morris himself, his own words. You heard from his heart. So the question now is, what do we do about this? And I'm telling you, if you are an alumni of Auburn, if you've got a kid at Auburn, you better give that school a call. And this nonsense, we've got to put a stop to it. It's not right. It is not right, America. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Stearns.
So I was trying to find a part for my Cadillac the other day, but instead of going down to the auto store, I went online to rockauto.com and I saved a ton of money. You know, chain stores have different price tiers for the professional mechanics and the do-it-yourselfers, but rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, just like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody, and it does not require membership or an account to log in. The best part about it, RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And here's what I also want you to do. Write Starnes, S-T-A-R-N-E-S, in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that I sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. I'm curious, if you went to Auburn and you need to call in and let us know what you've told Auburn University. Are they going to allow white students to be discriminated against? Now, we don't believe in discrimination here. We don't think anybody ought to be discriminated against. By golly, we're not going to tolerate this CRT woke mob going after poor white kids. Unbelievable. By the way, first, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And I will say this. I want to give you guys a round of applause because you've done some incredible work this week. We told you earlier about Germantown, Tennessee, the emphasis on German, and the city leaders there, the woke city leaders, decided that they wanted to embrace their fascist side. And, of course, I live in Germantown, so I was sort of surprised by this because, as far as I knew, Germantown's a pretty darn conservative area compared to Memphis. So anyway, the city leaders decided, you know what, we're going to force everybody to get that China virus vaccine, whether you want to or not. You're not going to be allowed to work. If you refuse to get the vaccine, we're going to fire you. You will be given the heave-ho in Germantown, Tennessee. So anyway, we shared the story with you guys, and the phones apparently lit up. You guys did an incredible job sending emails, calling City Hall. The response was so overwhelming, and especially from our listeners at our flagship station, KWAM, that late yesterday, the city decided they were going to rescind the order. So now they're just going to strongly encourage people to get the China virus vaccine in Germantown. And all I can tell you is thank you, because you have proved a point that we talk about all the time on this radio program. When good-hearted, courageous patriots who know their constitutional rights take a stand, you're going to make a difference. What was it Bonhoeffer said? Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. But in this issue, good triumphed over evil in Germantown, Tennessee. So well done, ladies and gentlemen. That being said, just a few moments ago, the school system here in West Tennessee, Shelby County, announced that they're going to make everybody mask up for this coming school year. And I suspect that's the way it's going to be all over the country. And here's what you need to do, moms and dads, no matter where you are, you need to do what the deputy sheriffs are doing in Los Angeles County. And I want to share this story with you from the Daily Wire. A labor union representing some 7,000 deputies in Los Angeles County, they're pushing back against an executive order mandating county workers provide proof of full vaccination. So they're going to challenge this in the courts. And I say, good for them. You've got to fight back. You have to resist, ladies and gentlemen. Do not send your child to school with a face mask. Don't do it. There are a couple of bars here. Oh, by the way, Grace Baker is back, and we'll talk to Grace in just a little bit. A couple of bars in Memphis, Tennessee announced that you're going to have to show your vaccine papers. Here's my prediction. Those bars are going to be shut down by the end of the year. Nobody's going to want to go there. So my recommendation is let's fight back. Let's resist. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Did we forget the...
I've noticed that when I go to the shopping mall and buy one of the towels, they just don't seem to work very well. They feel too soft and too lotion-y. They just don't absorb the water. Well, our good friend Mike Lindell over at MyPillow has found a solution, and you've got to get yourself one of his brand new towels. These things are incredible. And best of all, they're made right here in the U.S., and all of his towels come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. You're going to be able to get a six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths, all made with USA cotton. They are soft yet absorbent, and you're normally going to pay over $100. But thanks to our good friend Mike Lindell, $39.99. That's it. It's a great deal. All you have to do, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the towels. Just enter the promo code STARNS, or you can call 800-839-8506 for some incredible radio specials. Again, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. You know, I want to say something because we've got a lot of hate mail around here, and I want to address this for just a moment. A lot of people very angry that I got the vaccine. You're very upset because I followed my doctor's orders and I got the vaccine. And many of you are saying, how dare you, Todd? How shame on you for getting the vaccine. All right, well, you know what? People who have that attitude, that mentality, you're just as bad as the other side. You know what? It's none of your business, and it's none of their business. It's nobody's business but you and your doctor. I mean, this is just bonkers. I mean, let's get it together here, folks. This is about personal responsibility. This is about your personal freedom. And if you don't trust your doctor, that's on you. But I trust my doctor. And if I keel over, I keel over. But you know what? It was my decision. Not yours. You don't get to, look, I don't get to make your medical decisions, and you don't get to make mine. Is that a controversial position in America right now? You have all these people out there on the pro-vaccination side, and they're dehumanizing. You know what? They're dehumanizing people who refuse to get the vaccine. And there are people out there that have very legitimate reasons not to get that vaccine. Very legitimate reasons. And they're being dehumanized. On the other side, you have people that got the vaccine and for whatever reason they needed to get that vaccine. And those people are being dehumanized. So can we not just find some common ground here? And the common ground is that we are all responsible for our own decisions. I'm just asking. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Chicago Bears tight end Jimmy Graham is confused. It turns out that the NFL is pushing mandatory COVID vaccination on its players. And now the Players Association is urging all the vaccinated players to be tested for the China virus every day. Now, my question is, and Mr. Graham's is, what's going on here? If you're vaccinated, you're vaccinated. Why do you need to be tested for the China virus? Mr. Graham took to Twitter to express his frustrations. I was basically forced into getting the vaccine. Now I'm just confused. Now, let me stop you here. There is no confusion, and nobody's forcing you to do anything. You don't have to play in the NFL. You could fight this. You could get an attorney, and you could fight this. But far too many people do not want to fight. Instead, they want to capitulate. The NFL said in July that refusal to submit to virus testing or wearing a tracking monitor would result in fines of $50,000. But again, if you've got the if you've got this vaccine or whatever they're shoving into our arms, why would you need to be tested for the China virus? Why is that? 844-747-8868. I feel bad for the guy, but you know what? Just say no. Somebody's forcing you to do something? That is unconstitutional. Now, I have a question for you. There's an interesting report coming out of the White House, and I've often wondered, and I pondered this question, but why is it that conservative women, by and large, overwhelmingly, are more attractive on the inside and the outside than liberal women are? Have you ever wondered about that? Have you ever thought about that? For whatever reason, when you look at it, and some of you may say, well, Tom, what about those Hollywood stars? Most of them are far-left lunatics, and they look drop-dead gorgeous. Yes, but if you take away the makeup and the professional hairstylist and the professional wardrobe people, and you take away all the plastic surgery and the extra parts they're getting, it is what it is. But seriously, when you look at a conservative woman, just her heart, her character, her demeanor, and I think a lot of that is reflected on the outside as well. And I ask this because there's a report out from the Daily Wire about something happening in First Lady Jill Biden's office. And this is fascinating. They're actually saying that the environment inside Jill Biden's office is reportedly abusive, actually comparing it to the Devil Wears Prada. Now, this is huge because Vice President Kamala Harris has been dealing with the same problem in her office. I mean, people are talking. Normally you don't have leaks like this, but apparently the atmosphere is so toxic in both of these offices that people are really starting to speak out. An advisor to Jill Biden, Anthony Bernal, described as the most powerful person in the office of the First Lady, is somewhat of a tyrant, wielding power that has made Bernal one of the most polarizing people in the White House. In Bernal's pursuit of perfection for the First Lady, the advisor treated staffers poorly, so poorly the atmosphere has been likened to the movie The Devil Wears Prada. Many describe him as berating and toxic because of his unfiltered criticism of others and tendency to trash talk colleagues behind their back. Stories of Bernal making staffers cry are an open secret in the Biden world. Two campaign staffers said they heard Bernal call people stupid in meetings or over the phone. And during the campaign and in the White House, some staffers felt the behavior was so obnoxious, they began to surreptitiously record him in meetings. Oh, that's going to be juicy. West Wing Playback, who originally broke the story, has not heard the recordings, and the First Lady's not commenting. The Daily Wire reported in June that Vice President Kamala Harris runs an abusive office where morale is low, staff concerns and ideas are ignored, and aides are often surprised with hastily made decisions. People are thrown under the bus from the very top. There are short fuses. It's an abusive environment. It's not a place where people feel supported, but a place where people feel treated like blank. So I'm just curious. Maybe it's just me, but this is not the first time. You know, Hillary Rodham Clinton, Mrs. Bill Clinton, the same situation. Michelle Obama, not a very pleasant person. So what is it with liberal women? Why are they always so angry? Why are they always so aggrieved? The Mexican Manchu crowd. What's going on there? Anyway, all that to say, if you're looking for a job at the White House, I would steer clear of the VP's office and the First Lady's office. By the way, why is Kamala Harris still employed? Why is she still a part of the administration? Have you seen what's happening on the border? I mean, this is her job. She was assigned responsibilities to take care of the border crisis. She went to the border, the wrong end of the border, the place where there weren't any problems. But I'm wondering why they have not addressed this. And why haven't the folks in the White House press corps called out the vice president during these press briefings? She's ultimately the person who's responsible for all of this nonsense. And it's bad down there. Just bad, folks. All right, 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. John, listening to us on the live stream in Montana. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate your honesty about the vaccine and your personal decision. And I've had a thought here lately about Pfizer has been in the news seeking to get full approval from FDA. And I don't know if anybody's entertained this thought or if it's something that we as Americans need to go to our representatives, but should there be a an understanding, even potentially by a law written, that the minute they get that full approval, they don't have that protection from legal liability like they have right now? Just a thought that I've had, and I don't know if that's been presented to you in your conversations with the connections that you have or not.
John, you know, the challenge here, and again, I took a risk, but, you know, again, on the advice of my doctor and my cardiologist, you know, I'm going to do what they recommend me doing. I mean, they haven't steered me wrong thus far in life. I will say this. I do have concerns that this is an experimental drug. I call it a vaccine. It's really not a vaccine. And we know that because people are still getting the China virus after getting this, whatever this experimental drug is. But it is experimental because it has not been approved by the FDA, which means that we cannot sue the drug makers. We can't sue our employers. We can't sue the government. If something goes wrong, basically the government's response is going to be, well, you know, hey, look, you're the one who took an experimental drug. That's on you. And so according to the Constitution, John, we have a responsibility, a personal responsibility, to make our own decisions in life. And that's why we have to
stand. I absolutely agree with that. And that's why I say I respect you tremendously, because you stand for the Constitution and you made a personal decision. And, you know, I understand that. I just wondering if there's any thought process to, you know, their Pfizer being liable if it does become an approved drug, as it has been that way for decades.
Well, they should be, but let's wait and see. Something tells me they're not going to be. They'll be given some sort of a carve-out protection, but they should all be. And by the way, now Moderna's coming out and saying that, you know what, you're going to have to get a booster, so that's we're looking at, what, three shots now? I got to tell you, John, after what I went through and I'm still going through, after getting the first shot, I think I'm going to just take my chances. I'm not going back for number two. Because they say that's supposedly even worse than the first round. And I got to tell you, the first round was very unpleasant for me. John, appreciate the call, and thanks for those kind words. Let's go to Paul, listening to us on WDUN in Georgia. Paul, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, Todd, have you heard about the there's an article out about from Israel about how they're seeing the vaccines and the natural immunity that people are getting is kind of waning. It's not lasting that long. And I think that's part of the reason why the administration now is in a tizzy, because they're realizing that, you know, they put it all in on the vaccines, and you know, it may not last but 6 months, 8 months, which explains why all these people who've had the vaccine are possibly getting COVID. Now, this has nothing to do with how severe the new Delta variant is, because we know it's not like it used to be. It's not as bad. But I think, you know, so the people in Israel, they're actually asking people older than 60 to get a booster shot.
And that's it. And I'm looking at the Business Insider reporting on this poll. That's even though a majority of Israel actually got vaccinated, and now they're having another uptick, and that could very well be why they're coming back and saying, well, you're going to have another shot and another shot and then another shot. Okay, well, I mean, are we talking about a time where we're going to have half a dozen shots? Look, I did my one, and I think I'm good.
Help me too.
Yeah, I'm done.
My big problem that I have, Todd, I believe in vaccines. I get the flu shot. I just don't believe the media or the government anymore. That's my problem.
Why is that, Paul? Why don't you believe the media and the government?
Everything they do is political, right?
It's true.
For Kamala Harris last year to say, I'm not going to get the vaccine because it's Trump's vaccine. Unbelievable how irresponsible that was.
Every single one of those Democrats were telling people, do not get the vaccine. Do not get the vaccine. All right. Hey, Paul, got to run. We're up against a hard break here. Folks, this is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Stearns.
You know, folks, now more than ever, it is so important to support companies, organizations that share our values. Patriot Mobile, they not only share our beliefs, they're doing something about it. America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They donate a portion of every dollar to organizations that fight for causes you care about. I want to encourage you to do what I did, which is switch to Patriot Mobile right now. You're going to get 50% off your first 2 months or $100 off any phone in stock with a 1 year commitment. Go right now, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call their toll free number 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. All right. Joe Biden, just a little while ago, wearing a tan suit, by the way, which should be an impeachable offense, had this to say about the China virus numbers in America.
So we have to get more people vaccinated. I said, well over, what's the number again? I remind myself, 350 million Americans have already been vaccinated. They're doing fine.
Okay, so what Biden just told us is that the entire country plus, 30 million other people got vaccinated. There are not that many people in the country. Can I just say something here? Just you and me. Folks, do you think it's time to pull the plug on all of this? Do you think the 25th Amendment, we need to go ahead and move forward here? Do you think that Joe Biden is actually qualified mentally to run our country, to be the leader of the free world? I mean, every single day, it's a gaff a laugh. Unbelievable. Yesterday, and we have the video on our website, toddstearns.com. He invited a little child, a little girl, and he hugged the child from behind, and it looks like he's sniffing the child's hair. Is that normal behavior? So I know that Kamala Harris is god awful. I know that. But are we better off with her in the White House or Joe Biden? Is it possible, just possible, that Joe Biden does not have the cognitive skills to do the job anymore? And I'm wondering Mark Levin was talking about this a few days ago. And he believes it is time. And Mark Levin is a great legal scholar and a great mind. and I trust his judgment on this, but he believes it's time to invoke the 25th. And I'm curious to know if you feel that this is the time, that Biden, it's just, we're not talking about gaffes, we're talking about severe mental decline, whether it is dementia, whether it is, you know, senility, that whatever it is, there is clearly something not right. The front porch light is on, but nobody is home. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. What an honor to have you with us. And folks, got a great, great hour ahead of you. By the way, write down our telephone number. You will need this if you're going to call in. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Grace Baker back from her vacation to the wilds of Wisconsin, and all is well with the world. And also, Avery Bryson is manning our live show blog, so we've got the whole gang together today, and we'll check in with Grace in just a little while. There is a big, big story brewing over in California, and we are very excited about this news. We have been following the polling results, and it is looking good for our good friend Larry Elder, who wants to replace Gavin Newsom. And I think Larry Elder, ladies and gentlemen, could be one of the greatest governors in the history of the Golden State. Larry is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Larry, my only beef with you, sir, is that I used to, whenever I would do my afternoon walk here in Memphis, Tennessee, I would listen to your show on KWAM, and we can't do that now.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for having me. I don't know if I told you, my mom and dad met in Tennessee. They met in Chattanooga, got married there.
Is that right? Well, on good old Eastern Tennessee and Chattanooga, a fine, fine city. I had no idea.
Absolutely. And my dad came here back in 1945, right after the war. That's one of the reasons, Todd, I'm running. My dad was a janitor. He cleaned toilets. He had two full-time jobs for 10 years at two bread companies. And he was able to save his nickels and dimes to, believe it or not, have a stay-at-home wife, my mother, and she stayed at home until the youngest of us was in middle school, and was able to save his nickels and dimes and buy a home in an area of L.A. called South Central. And I just checked, and that house is now worth $600,000, which is wonderful for us.
Wow.
Because it's still in the family. My point, though, is somebody with an eighth-grade dropout education like my father, if he worked three or four jobs, could not have afforded to get the down payment and buy a house that expensive, because the cost of living in California has gotten so outrageous because of the stranglehold the environmental extremists have had on Sacramento for decades. One of the many things I'm going to do, if I'm fortunate enough to become elected governor, is to roll back these regulations and unleash the private sector. We have a housing shortage in this state. The average price of a home in California is 150% more than the average price nationally. And one of my frequent guests on my radio show is a brilliant econ professor at UCLA named Leo Hanian. And he says because of the environmental rules and regulations, most notably a law called CEQA, California Environmental Quality Act, the average price of a home in California, believe it or not, is 50% more than it would be but for these ridiculous environmental laws.
Larry, I was really intrigued. There was a bit of controversy over some comments about the minimum wage. As a business owner, I appreciate you pointing out that, you know, for somebody who's never run a business to tell business people how to run their business, it is incredibly offensive. And I know a lot of small business owners around California must have been shouting amen at your comments.
You know, and what get me is these journalists, so-called journalists, who've never taken a course in Economics 101. You take a course in Economics 101, and you learn in the first week the damage that minimum wages do to people who are unskilled. Milton Friedman, the late, great Nobel laureate, he was a friend of mine. He said the minimum wage, quote, is perhaps the most anti-Negro law on the statute books, close quote. Believe it or not, at one time, before the minimum wage laws began to exceed inflation, a black teenager, unskilled, was more likely to be working than a white teenager, than a white adult or a black adult, because the teenager would sell his wages for lower money. Then the minimum wage comes in and makes that illegal. And so now we have the phenomenon where kids who do want jobs in the inner city, you're having a 50% unemployment rate. And all this is because of the minimum wage. Now, again, anybody who's ever studied any economics knows exactly what I'm talking about. Economists disagree about a lot of things, but there's virtual unanimous agreement that the minimum wage hurts people. They cause employers to defer hiring decisions, to cut hours, to jack up prices, all of which have negative consequences. And I asked a reporter one time, who kept pressing me about this, I said, have you ever studied economics? Didn't know Adam Smith from Adam 12. That's what, and these guys are writing columns about business and about the economy. Clueless.
Larry, I'm curious about crime. We had a story up on our website, toddstearns.com, showed video of a woman hanging outside of a car in San Francisco wielding a weapon. And if California cities are anything like what's happening elsewhere around the nation, crime is out of control. And what are you going to do as governor to crack down on crime?
Well, you're right. That's one of the many issues in addition to crime and homelessness and the outrageous cost of living and the way this guy ignored science and shut down the state. Crime is one of the top issues. We have violent crime, homicide shootings up in San Francisco, up in Oakland, up in L.A., up in San Diego. And one of the reasons for this, Todd, is that under this governor, he has overseen the release of 20,000 convicted felons under early release because of COVID. What could possibly go wrong? The stats show that convicted felons, when they are released, are more likely to reoffend. And just the other day, Barbara Boxer, the former senator from California, got mugged. Her cell phone was taken in Oakland. And just a few days earlier, the Oakland police chief talked about all the money being diverted from his department because of the defund the police movement. Here in L.A., $150 million diverted from the LAPD because of the defund the police movement. One of the many things I'm going to do is I'm going to use a bully pulpit to stop this ridiculous narrative that the police are out to get black people just because they're black. There is this systemic racism notion, and what it's done is caused the cops to pull back. It's called the Ferguson effect. I guess now they're calling it the George Floyd effect. You're a cop. Most of the police work is discretionary. You're driving around. You see something that looks suspicious. Why the hell should you get out of your car and wade in when somebody's going to accuse you of engaging in systemic racism? So what the cops are doing is engaging in passive policing. Bad guys know it. Crime goes up, and the people who are most hurt are the black and brown people that the left claims they care about. And forget about Elder. When Rahm Emanuel was the mayor of Chicago, even he said that the police had rolled themselves up and, quote, the police had, quote, gone fetal, close quote, his expression, meaning that they're pulling back for fear of being falsely accused of racism. And also, we've got two soft-on-crime DAs out here in California. Both have been supported financially by George Soros. One is in San Francisco, one is in L.A., and they believe in cashless bail. They're not charging people to the highest level. And we also have a proposition called 47 that the voters foolishly passed with the best of intentions. The idea is that many people who are engaging in shoplifting, Todd, are doing so to get money to support their drug habit. Well, you take away the possibility that they're going to go to jail, because if you steal $950 or less, you're guilty not of a felony but of a misdemeanor. If you're caught, you get a ticket, and as a result, they don't show up. And people are on the streets using drugs, and the cops tell them, get off the streets, and they say, or what? You can't send me to jail? And as a result, the stick has been taken away. And so all these kinds of things have come together to cause a rise in crime here in California, and I'm going to do something about that.
Now, Larry, is this true that you guys have raised, what, $4.5 million in just 19 right. days?
Yeah, in fact, it's past $5 million since that report has come out, and I've been a politician for a little more than 2 weeks, not too shabby.
That report came out 9 minutes ago. My goodness, man. Why do you think that is? What's going on there? Are you building that coalition?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm from the inner city. I'm from South Central. I went to public schools. I know how bad the schools are. I'm endorsing choice so that the money follows the child rather than the other way around. And black and brown parents, based on the polls, overwhelmingly support school choice because they know how rotten the schools are in the inner city. 75%, I'm not making this number up, 75% of black boys in California cannot read at state levels of proficiency, and the levels aren't high. 50% of third graders cannot read at state levels of proficiency. Again, those levels are not high. My high school, which is called Crenshaw High School, if you saw the movie Boys in the Hood, that's my high school. Get this, 2% of kids at my former high school are math proficient. 2%, not 20, 2%. And urban parents know what's going on, and they want to make sure that the money follows the child rather than the other way around. As a result, I'm able to crack through and peel off some Democrats and independents that Republicans in the past have not been able to do. The other reason, I think, is that aside from Caitlyn Jenner, I'm the best-known candidate here in California. On radio for 27 years. I'm in every major market in California, from Sacramento in the north to San Diego in the south and all markets in between. And I've been talking about these issues, about crime and about homelessness and why the cost of living in California has gotten so outrageous for a long time. And, you know, I pride myself, as I know you do, on taking difficult phone calls. And so over the years, my ideas have been tested under fire. They're common sense. It's not rocket science. And we just need to change the narrative in Sacramento, where two-thirds of the members of the Senate and of the Assembly, the two chambers of the legislature here in California, are Democrats. And I'm going to be able to break that stranglehold in ways that I don't think governors have done in almost 20 or 30 years.
All right. Well, Larry, you know, the good news here is there was another guy who was a radio star and went on to become governor of California.
I know who you're talking about, and we're not talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're talking about Ronald Reagan. And became a good two-term governor and a pretty decent two-term president. And he, quote, had no experience either, close quote. That's the other thing that kills me, Todd. Larry, you have no experience. This guy that I'm running against, Gavin Newsom, he was two-term elected governor of elected mayor of San Francisco, 8 years lieutenant governor, so he had 8 years to plan what he was going to do if he were to become governor. And now he's been governor for 2 years. Look what we have. Only about a half of the jobs pre-pandemic have been restored here in California, as opposed to two-thirds nationwide. He exempted his own winery from the mandates that he put down the throats of everybody else. His own kids enjoyed in-person private education while shutting down education for a whole year here in California. And that's why 2.2 million people signed the petition, and a good a quarter of them were Democrats and independents, and they want this guy out who they just voted for 2 years earlier.
All right, Larry, we got to leave it there. You know how this goes. We got to sell some pillows for Mike Lindell. So
just mention electelder.com, electelder.com. Throw a little something in the tip jar. Help me defeat this man.
We're going to do it, Larry, and we've got links to your website on our live show blog, folks, if you want to access it there. Larry, good luck to you out on the campaign trail. We'll get you back on soon.
See you in Sacramento.
All right. I love it. Love it, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Elder. Great American patriot, a good friend, and I think he would make a great governor of California. I mean, this is a guy who is truly, truly going to make a difference in the Golden State. Folks, especially you California listeners, are you tired of it? Are you tired of the same old, same old? Are you tired of the jackboot of government being on your neck every day? Larry Elder will do something about that. All right, look, I told you we got to take a break to sell some pillows and towels, and I got to tell you about Mike Lindell's incredible new towels. They're amazing, and folks, they are made with USA cotton, and they come with the MyPillow 60-day money-back guarantee. I have the towels, love them. I've got all of Mike's products, and they're just incredible. You're going to get a 6-piece towel set, 2 bath towels, hand towels, washcloths, the whole 9 yards, all made with USA cotton. Normally, you would pay over $100. Mike is going to offer it to the Todd Stern Show family for just $39.99. They make great gifts as well. I can tell you, when Grace Baker got the MyPillow doggy bed for little Merlot, oh, she just lit up. Again, it's a great gift. So all you need to do is go to MyPillow.com right now, click on the new radio listener specials, and you're going to get deep discounts on every MyPillow product, including the towels. All you need to do to activate those specials, you've got to use my last name, Starnes, to activate those discounts. Or you can call 800-839-8506. Use the promo code Starnes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
We'll be right back. Grace Baker is back, ladies and gentlemen. Avery Bryson in our studios at WDUN. Grace, we missed you.
Really?
And we really missed you on the book tour.
Aww.
People asked about you and Merlot.
I was about to say, I think people miss Merlot more than me.
No, I don't know about that. And Avery was there at the book signing at WDUN.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And he was like a rock star. All the grandmas wanted to pinch his cheeks.
Did you get any numbers, Avery?
No, and if I did, then that would be very concerning.
Well, I mean, you know, cougars. I mean, there are cougars in Gainesville.
There are, but not for me. Nope.
One of the little old ladies pulled me aside afterwards, and she says, "Todd, you're just too harsh with that young man, Avery. You've got to ease up on him."
Aww. That was the one consistent thing that I did find a lot of people were talking about. They were like, "Man, you really do give Avery a hard time." And I'm like, "Yep, I'm abused here."
I don't think I give you a hard time here. Well, we're glad to have you back. Now, Grace, you went to Wisconsin.
I did. I went up to Wisconsin.
Did you have one of the cheese curds?
Of course I did. Never had it before.
And how are the cheese curds?
They're good. It just reminds me of mozzarella sticks. I'm not going to lie. They're just shaped different.
So you, just, yeah, like smaller?
Mm-hmm.
What part of Wisconsin?
Near Green Bay.
Oh, that's a great area. A lot of conservatives in that part of the country.
Yeah, when I landed at the Green Bay Airport, none of the employees were wearing masks or anything. And I was like, I'm in a free land. And I ripped mine off because the whole time you had to wear them.
Is that right?
Of course you did.
Oh. And yeah, you're in the sardine can, you have to wear them.
And I flew through Delta. And the flight attendants were pretty nice, you know, except on our last flight. I mean, the moment I got on, I knew this lady was a Karen. I'm sorry, but that's what she was. She even announced on the intercom, you know, after they give you the free little snack or whatever, she was like, "Just a friendly reminder to put your mask on in between bites and sips."
Between bites.
Bites and sips.
And she multiple times said, "If you have the vaccine or a negative COVID test, you still have to wear a mask." And she said that multiple times.
So speaking of air flights, you guys have to hear this audio. So there was a flight attendant, and there was an unruly passenger. People are getting into fights all the time. Were people well-behaved on your plane?
Yes, besides a child that didn't like having to stay still.
So
that always happens.
Always.
I love it. So there is, you know what, there is... And there's a flight attendant out there. So it turns out this is not true. So but this audio is kind of funny. They say the guy's a flight attendant, but he's really not a flight attendant.
He was posing as a flight attendant?
It's a parody sketch of what a flight attendant would have said.
That's correct.
We were about to play this, but we're not going to play it because it turns out it was just a parody sketch. But a local TV station thought it was the real deal.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
Ouch.
So, look, interesting. Jake Gyllenhaal in the news.
Yeah. What do you do now?
So, Jake Gyllenhaal did an interview with Vanity Fair. And this is fascinating. He says that he does not like to bathe. So, he does not take a regular bath.
That's so weird.
He likes to, I don't know, saute in his own juices.
Ew. But he's not the only celebrity that's hopped on this train.
Hold on. Jake Gyllenhaal says, "I believe that good manners and bad breath get you nowhere. So I do that." Okay, so that's good. "But I think there's a whole world of not bathing that is helpful for skin maintenance. We naturally clean ourselves."
But we have modern devices that we can, you know, like soap.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
This was, like, the big cause of a lot of diseases, like, in early England and stuff like that, is because people had bad hygiene. They didn't take care of themselves and stuff like that, so...
Bad teeth, too.
Yeah, very bad teeth.
Yeah, I bet he doesn't go to the dentist.
Well, we're going to discuss this coming up after the... Because you're right, he's not the only one, and now there's a movement not to bathe children in Hollywood.
Oh, gosh, no. No.
So, no, I'm serious. We're going to talk about this, but I am curious. Ladies, would you date a man who refused to bathe on a regular basis? And we're going to open up the phone lines here, and I will say this. I always knew when Europeans were on the New York City subway, the B train, you could smell them before you could see them. And what they would not bathe, but they would drench themselves in Dracar. Everybody remember Dracar? Yeah. You folks in the 80s and 90s know exactly what I'm talking about. So anyway, 844-747-8868. And men, would you date a woman who did not bathe on a regular basis? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Did I mention that I have the best real estate agent in America, ladies and gentlemen? Vicki Gandy, she's got a great real estate company here in the Memphis area. GoTeamGandy.com, G-A-N-D-E-E, GoTeamGandy.com. Grace Baker, I went downstairs after the first hour. You know, I have been a little under the weather this week, and I don't want to relitigate that, but Vicki dropped by. A massive tub of homemade chicken and dumplings.
No.
Yes, it looks delicious.
Oh, I love chicken and dumplings. That's always what I ordered at the Cracker Barrel.
Amazing. And homemade cookies.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Tell you what, we've got some...
Oh, nice.
We have good people associated with this radio program.
Of course.
I'm just going to tell you. Good people. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to Jonathan, listening to us on Nuga Radio, Chattanooga, Tennessee. All right, Jonathan, you want to weigh in on this 25th Amendment. You know, Mark Levin's really, really going after this and says Biden needs to be removed from office.
Right. First off, I appreciate your show. I don't pretend to be psychic or prophetic, but I do believe, and I've said from the very beginning, that they plan on keeping, the Democrat Party plans on keeping President Biden in office for 2 years, and then we'll pull him from office in whatever form that would happen, putting Kamala Harris as president, so she can run two more terms and do the full 10 years available to her. I just believe that that's part of the bigger plan.
You see, Jonathan, I think that's what they thought the plan was going to be. I don't think the Democrats realized how terrible Kamala Harris really is. I mean, nobody likes this woman. I don't think there's any way she could pull off a win, even if they cheated to the extent they cheated in 2020, at least some people allege. Even if that happened, I don't believe that she would be able to be elected. She's unelectable.
Well, we thought that same thing with President Joe Biden when compared to President Donald Trump.
Fair enough.
There was no possible way that he could win. But then somehow, won by a landslide. So I would say that's still sort of a plan that they have. And, you know, hopefully not, because our country definitely deserves better than where we are. But I'd be scared to take him out of office too quickly, because then what we get probably is going to be worse.
Well, no doubt about that. Well, it could possibly be. I just don't believe Kamala Harris is effective at all. And if, in fact, Biden is removed, I think there will be open warfare in the Democrat Party over all of that. So let's see how this plays out, Jonathan. I'm not discounting your argument here. I think this was ultimately the plan, but I'm not sure the Democrats in leadership actually thought Kamala was going to be as bad as she is. By the way, Kamala Harris, Jonathan, thanks for the call. Kamala Harris making some headlines. She was photographed with an up-and-coming lawmaker in Arizona, a state senator. And it's interesting, when these kinds of things happen, you know what the story is by what they do not include in the story. So the headline out of Arizona, and this is a scandalous one from the Associated Press, a Democratic state senator has been charged with multiple counts of sexual conduct with a minor. He will make a court appearance later this afternoon. Tony Navarette was arrested Thursday, booked into jail. Police say Navarette engaged in sexual conduct with a minor, a felony described as knowingly engaged in intercourse or oral sex with a minor. So they left out a big, big part of this story because Senator Navarette is not just a senator. He is one of the leading LGBT activists there in the state of Arizona. They left that out. I'm sure it was just an oversight, an error. So there you have it. This guy photographed with Kamala Harris, and that photo is making the rounds on social media this afternoon. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This story from Fox News. Emma Colton is the writer. Former President Barack Hussein Obama's 60th birthday bash on Martha's Vineyard will include a meat-free menu. Now, wow, I know something about this, and we'll jump into that side of the story in just a moment here. But, you know, Obama was going to have a big bash. What, 700 people were scheduled to attend. That was going to be a free-for-all, and they had to scale it back because people were pointing out the sheer hypocrisy of having 700 people show up at your birthday party while the average 7-year-old cannot have a birthday party in her backyard, not in America. So anyway, they're scaling it back, and I suspect nobody's going to want to go since they've released the menu. Guests of the party will be offered food options such as, and I'm curious, Grace and Avery, I want to get your thoughts here on this. They're going to be dining on things like Spam Musubi.
Ew.
It's made with plant.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it's made with.
What did you say?
It's made with a plant-based faux beef and faux pork product from something called Impossible Food.
It is impossible.
I'm sorry, but
it's not food.
Yeah, you can't make, and even if it's not actual spam, you can't just glide past that and be like, yes, you know, this is a high-class version of spam.
No, it's hard enough to get the regular spam down.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to handle the fake beef and fake pork edition.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
According to Fox News, they're also going to be serving something called cheesesteak egg rolls, which sound delicious until you realize they're made with fake beef and fake cheese sauce.
What's in them is what I want to know. I guess just plants. Tofu?
I'm sorry, but this is starting to sound like a public school lunch menu right here, if I'm being totally honest.
The menu was put together by Questlove of the Roots, and he's one of these big advocates for meat-free diets.
Oh, I follow him on Instagram now. I may reconsider that. He's a good drummer. That's why I like him. So,
yeah. So, oh, by the way, this was the fake beef is coming from a place in Berkeley, California. No surprise there.
Oh.
Vegan food, they say, is becoming increasingly popular as awareness of the impact of animal agriculture on the environment grows. I don't believe that.
Yeah, but then I don't really either. And also because a bunch of people are like, you know, cows produce a lot of methane and stuff like that. Technically, you are hurting yourself by going vegan because you're not decreasing the amount of methane that they produce by, you know, humanely as possible killing them and then, you know, eating their products and stuff like that. So, yeah,
indeed. You know? Is somebody typing? I hear somebody typing. Who's typing?
That's not me.
Okay. I
finished up.
You're hearing things.
Okay. Maybe I am. Well,
you're talking about.
It's the vaccine. Now I'm hearing things, for crying out loud.
I was going to say it was just your. It was reading this menu was making your head spin.
So on that note, Bill, our good friend Bill Main, who is the general manager and executive vice president at WDUN in Gainesville, Georgia, sent me a note about this. Out in Oregon, they are launching an initiative to remove all animal abuse exemptions from farming. In other words, if this passes, you won't be able to actually kill a cow or a pig.
What?
No.
In the state of Oregon?
In the state of Oregon. They want people to go meatless.
That's so wrong.
So here's my question. Would you go to a party if you knew that you were going to a party where they would not be serving meat? Would you go to that party?
I'd just eat before.
I wouldn't.
I mean, what's the point, right?
Just eat before the party.
The only reason I'm going are for the delicious barbecue meatballs and shrimp. Ooh, you got to have the shrimp.
I love shrimp.
That's two southern staples right there.
You got to have the shrimp. And, you got to have the cheese balls. The sausage cheese balls. Oh, mercy.
Yeah, cheese balls or like cheese rolls, type of cheese bread, something like that.
Got to have, exactly. Or maybe cheese one of curds. What do they call them? The pizza things? Pizza rolls?
Pizza rolls.
From
pizza
Totino's.
Rolls. Oh, my gosh.
Totino's.
Or the bagel bites.
Got to have the bagel bites. And you got to have the French onion dip. You know, not the kind you buy, but you got to have the kind you make with the Lipton onion soup stuff.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Got to have that.
Yes.
And at least some sliders. You got to have a slider. But
Of any kind, yeah.
But let me tell you something about Obama. You see, I had to cover these guys. I had to travel with Obama
for
like 6 months.
No.
Bless your heart.
I lost so much weight because they don't serve meat. I mean, it was just always like vegan stuff. That was the first time I ever had sushi.
Okay, well, I do like sushi, but
I'm going to assume it was like a vegan sushi then. There was like no seafood in it.
Well, no, it was like there was some sort of raw fish flesh in front of me. I'll never forget this. I was in my seat and the flight attendant. She puts this elaborate display. And I asked her, she said, is something wrong? I said, well, yeah. I said, it's not cooked. And she says, well, it's sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? And she goes, well, can I bring you something else? I said, yeah, how about some hot peanut oil and some batter? And, we can make some, fried fish here. Maybe a couple of hush puppies.
Fish chips.
They didn't want to go for that.
No.
So. I mean, the only thing worse than going to a meatless vegetarian party would be if all of these unbathed Hollywood stars
brought their kids.
Could you imagine? So what is the deal here? Now, you were telling me, Grace, that like Ashton Kutcher.
Yes.
So these are not just random. These are big-time Hollywood stars.
So Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, they don't wash their kids until, quote, you can see the dirt on them.
What?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, excuse me. That was Kristen Bell who said that. Kristen Bell. So we've got multiple people. They're all on the same boat. But this is just, Kristen Bell is in Frozen, Disney's Frozen. Well,
yeah.
Was she that lady in the Bridesmaids movie?
She might have been. I've never seen that, Todd. Have you seen
that? Oh, you've got to see that movie. Yeah, that's
I love how you've seen that movie and I haven't seen that movie.
There's a long story about that. There's a backstory.
Oh, okay. I'll watch it and we'll have to discuss.
Yeah, I've seen that movie as well.
Oh, my gosh.
Avery, you've seen that movie?
I've seen a lot of movies, Todd.
Yeah,
this is kind of weird. The two guys here have seen the movie Bridesmaids and I haven't.
I haven't seen The Notebook, though, and I refuse.
Well, another actor, speaking of, rom-coms and stuff like that, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I was watching that the other day. Matthew McConaughey's in that one, if I'm not mistaken. And did you know he hasn't, and this has been out for a while, but he hasn't used deodorant in like 20 years.
That's
so he's
so
kind of like the pioneer of all of this.
Matthew McConaughey says,
go ahead, Todd.
He says that he does not prefer smelling like another thing or person, and neither do the women in his life, so including his mother. They like his natural smell.
A smell only a mother could love.
So is that true? Is that really a thing? Do women prefer a man to smell like his natural smell?
Not any of the women I've met.
Way. I'd tell him to go brush his teeth and take a shower before we went out on a date.
A good portion of that makes a lot of sense because I've seen a lot of pictures of Matthew McConaughey and his hair, like, I don't know if it's just the deodorant or just if he is, again, like one of these overall hygiene kind of weirdos, I guess. His hair always does look a little bit greasy. So
yes, I've noticed that as well.
I mean, he just might be on
the train
as well.
Natural oils, Avery. Natural oils.
My sister talked to me about that. My sister, who is an MA, a medical assistant, she's a very, very clean person, but she told me, she was like, oh, yeah, you can go like without a week without washing your hair and you'll be fine. And I was like, excuse me? No, thank you. I wash my hair every other day.
So,
I'm a very clean person.
So Ashton Kutcher and Kristen Bell or Kirsten Bell and Dax Shepard were on The View. And they said, we bathed our children every single night prior to bed. like the routine, right? That's how we were raised.
And that's then how I was raised.
And then somehow they just started going to sleep on their own without the routine. And by George, we had to start saying, hey, when's the last time you bathed the kids? They said sometimes it would be 5 or 6 days, but they still don't smell.
It doesn't mean they don't need a bath.
Holy cow. So they got 2 kids, 8 and 6 years old.
Oh.
And she says, I'm a big fan of waiting for the stink. Once you catch a whiff, once you catch a whiff, that's biology's way of letting you know you need to clean it up.
Okay.
Sweet Lord.
Or you could just be proactive and not have to smell it at all.
Yeah.
I don't know about this, ladies and gentlemen.
Go 50-50. Are you clean enough for the public nose? I don't know.
I pray this is not a trend, a national trend. I got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
You know what today is, ladies and gentlemen? Lucille Ball's birthday. Remember I Love Lucy? Oh, who remembers the big scene at the Chocolate Factory? One of the great TV sitcoms of all time. And we're going to toss out a couple of trivia questions. We're going to give you a chance to win one of my books, and I will be personally autographing that book. Here is the question. Ricky Ricardo, the husband of Lucille Ball in the TV show and in real life, that would be Desi Arnaz. What was Ricky Ricardo's job in I Love Lucy? What did Ricky Ricardo do in I Love Lucy? If you know, give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. You know, I love beef, love chicken. And I get all of my beef and chicken from GoodRanchers.com, and it's because their products are 100% American. When you buy your steak and chicken from Good Ranchers, you're not only getting amazing meat, you're also supporting American farmers. And my good friends at Good Ranchers have been traveling all over America, meeting the farmers who raise the livestock that ends up on your table. The steaks, USDA Choice and Prime, the chicken 100% natural. Folks, trust me, the best beef in America, made right here in America. And you can either buy one time or you can do what I do and subscribe. If you get any of their packages, you're going to save 20% with every purchase, and you're going to get steakhouse quality for less than $5 a meal. All you need to do is go to goodranchers.com/Todd. That's goodranchers.com/Todd. Use my first name as the promo code. That's T-O-D-D. They're going to give you $20 off. You're going to get free express shipping. That's goodranchers.com/Todd. All right. Let's go to the phones here. We've got some folks that want to try their hand at trivia. Wow, the phones blew up. We're going to offer some more trivia in the next hour, by the way. Let's go to, we'll try Randall in Gainesville, Georgia on WDUN. All right, Randall, let's go for it. What was the job that Ricky Ricardo had in I Love Lucy?
Todd, he was a band director.
That is correct.
A Cuban band director.
That's right. Lucy. Wow, he was an incredible musician, and that was woven into the show, and it was really one of those, you know, all-time quintessential American sitcoms. Randall, congratulations. Hang tight. We're going to get you hooked up with a prize. Folks, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, our telephone number. More trivia coming up next. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing good today. Getting ready for the weekend. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to kick back and not do a lot this weekend. So welcome to the show, folks. We've got a lot going on. By the way, as promised, to celebrate Lucille Ball's birthday, we're throwing out some I Love Lucy trivia. And we do have another question, and we're going to go ahead and get this out of the way so we can light up the phones. Grace Baker, fresh back from vacation. We just want to throw you into the fire, Grace.
Gonna make me work. I've been out of town.
Right? You get out of the loop. You get out of the swing of things.
I mean, I got a one-day work week this week, so.
That's not too bad.
Not too shabby.
If I were you, I would have taken the whole week off.
I thought about that. You know, my husband did, but I thought, nah, I'm going to come back for a day, then get two more days off. I got to save those for, you know, the holidays and stuff.
All right. Well, I like that. So, well, it's good to have you back. Avery Bryson back with us. But, guys, I got to tell you, that book tour was quite an event. We were at the Billy Graham Library and in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they treated us so well, Grace Baker.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they
really
did.
I was jealous I didn't get to go.
Yeah, well, you should have come all over, Avery. It was a lot of fun. They fed us a great lunch. We just
I
had a wonderful...
I would love to have come.
They fed us lunch. And if you have not... I will say this. I was very well-behaved, and Avery will attest to this. I did not eat a biscuit or eat the 5-pound slab of butter.
I applaud you. Good job. And so you stepped to your diet for the most part.
I wanted to.
For the most part, yeah.
More or less. Good. But anyway, we were at the Billy Graham Library, and they served us a lunch. And Ruth Graham, who was Billy Graham's wife, they actually used recipes from the Graham family there at the diner. And she actually had a killer chicken salad recipe.
That is fantastic.
And it was delicious.
That is awesome.
Made with the little grapes. You got the crunch and the sweetness of the grape. It was very tasty.
Perfect balance.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. It was very good, though. But man almighty, did they have some brand new exhibits out there, folks. I would encourage you, if you're on vacation or maybe you're looking for a day trip, you live within driving distance of Charlotte, head over to the Billy Graham Library. You are going to be blessed. It is just absolutely phenomenal. Okay, so here is our next trivia question. This involves I Love Lucy. We want to know, which New York City borough did Lucy and Ricky live in for the first several seasons of I Love Lucy? Now, they moved later in the series, but where did they initially live in New York City? What borough did they live in? And who were the neighbors? So who are the neighbors and where do they live? Give us a call, 844-747-8868, which is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868, and we're going to hook you up with a prize package. Just a heads up on the book, by the way. I got an urgent note from our publisher. So the first printing of the book is completely sold out, except for one location. I mean, you can't even get it on Amazon right now. The only place that you can get the book is at the ToddStarnes.com store, and we're waiting for the second printing. They're telling us that because of the China virus, there was a delay in the second printing of the book, and they've already ordered a third printing of the book. This thing is incredibly, incredibly popular. And what we've discovered at our book signings, people were buying like 5 and 6 copies to give away as Christmas presents. And we never really thought about that, but it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, we'll see what we can do. But again, if you want to get a copy of the book, I believe Barnes & Noble may have some online, but you can also order them at the Todd Starnes store. I got to tell you, folks, now more than ever, it is so vitally important to support companies and organizations that are sharing our values. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They not only share our beliefs, they're doing something about it. I made the switch to Patriot Mobile, and I hope you do too. You can use the promo code Todd right now to get free activation and a free gift. Patriot Mobile has the broadest nationwide coverage and uses the same towers other carriers use, and they have a plan to fit any budget, along with great discounts if you happen to be a veteran or a first responder. Switching to Patriot Mobile, super easy. All you have to do is go to their website, patriotmobile.com/Todd. You will see my face there. You can also call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. Again, that's patriotmobile.com. Use the promo code Todd. You're going to get free premier activation and a special gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Now, we have been following over the past 24, 48 hours, a number of stories around the country where cities are beginning to implement mandatory vaccine procedures and policies. There is a report out that the military is going to mandate that every single person in the military get the shot. You're not going to have a choice. If you have a loved one in the military, they will not have a choice. They will have to get the shot or they will be dishonorably discharged from the military. There's also a report circulating that the Biden administration is going to crack down on those of you who have not had the China virus. And here's vaccine. Here's how they're going to do it. They are going to threaten to withhold any federal funding from federal organizations in your states, in your cities. So for example, let's say you've got the University of Memphis here in Memphis, and they're not requiring students or faculty to get the vaccine. What the federal government's going to do, the Biden administration, they're going to come in and say, okay, fine. You don't want to force people to get the vaccine? We're going to yank your federal tax dollars. Get ready, because they're going to play hardball here, folks. No way around it. They're going to play hardball. And we've got to be prepared for that. And you're going to have to ask yourself some pretty hard-hitting questions. What do you plan on doing if they force you, if your employer forces you to get the vaccine? We've been getting a lot of messages from you folks in our social media platforms on Facebook and Twitter, and many of you have already made the decision. If it means getting a new job, it means getting a new job, but you are not going to allow the government to dictate how you live your life and what you do. Now, I also have a question for you, because a lot of restaurants around the country and businesses, as other businesses, are saying you've got to get this vaccine. You've got to show your papers. And if you don't show your papers, we're not going to let you eat. We're not going to let you eat supper. You're not going to be able to come into our restaurant. You're not going to be able to do that. That's what places like New York City are saying. So my question is, what do you do? Here in Memphis, Tennessee, there are two bars just announced that they're not going to be letting anybody into their facilities unless they show their vaccination papers. I want to share this with you. I got a note from someone who lives in Picayune, Mississippi. So again, this is not just a North versus South or big cities versus small towns. This is everywhere. Someone sent this to me, and I'm not going to share the person's name. Picayune is not that large of a town. Good morning. I wanted to share something with you, Todd. Today in the city of Picayune, Mississippi, will be a sad and stressful day. I got this early this morning, 5:48 a.m. The new city manager announced that all city employees must get COVID tested today or they are fired. This demand is not sitting well with many. I think there will be many added to the unemployment line today. It's very sad. It's not even a rapid test either, so they won't have the results for days, so I don't see the good it is doing. Also sad. I have family members deciding what choice to make. I'm sending this to you anonymously because of that, but I wanted to get this information out there. And I thank you for getting that information to us, because we are doing that. By the way, Germantown, Tennessee, and we told you about this earlier in the program, Germantown, Tennessee was going to do the same thing, a suburb of Memphis, and they backed down after you folks blew up their phone lines. But I also got word that there were rumblings. Many police officers in the Germantown Police Department were actually going to consider resigning en masse. In other words, just about every police officer was going to turn in their badge if they were forced to get the vaccine. And so they backed down. And so why is that? Why did they back down? It's because you stood up. Gary writes in, Todd, why would any business require a vaccine when the fully vaccinated can contract and spread the Delta variant? Look, great question. It's a terrific question, Gary. So look, we got to take a break here. What would you do, folks? Are you altering your plans? If you are being told you've got to show your papers to get into a restaurant or a bar or a baseball game, what do? 844-747-8868. Also, the trivia question for I Love Lucy fans, we want to know which New York City borough did Lucy and Ricky Ricardo live in for the first several seasons of I Love Lucy? And bonus question, what were the names of their neighbors? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Go to the phones this afternoon. Let's try Gainesville, Georgia. Suzanne on WDUN. All right, Suzanne, how are you today?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking. All right, Suzanne, here is the trivia question. We need to know which borough did Lucy and Ricky live in for the first several seasons of I Love Lucy?
I believe it was New York City, and I believe then it was Manhattan.
And for the bonus question, I'm curious, Suzanne, what were the neighbors? Who were the neighbors?
Have to be Fred and Ethel Mertz.
Fred and Ethel Mertz, Manhattan, and you, Suzanne, are correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. You know, it's interesting. Fred and Ethel actually owned the brownstone that the Ricardos lived in, and Ethel Mertz was, according to the TV show, was a famous flapper back in the day. So a dancer, that's a dancer, Grace Baker. So, did you ever watch that show, Suzanne?
I Love Lucy?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I love that era. I'm saying you, that was a favorite. That was a favorite. And I think this is great, Todd, by the way. This is a lot of fun.
Well,
and all this craziness.
Suzanne, you got to kick back and have a little bit of fun. You know what I mean?
Yes, you do. Yes,
all
you
right.
Do. And I wish you well. And I don't know why people aren't supporting you. I think you'd had to take the shot. I chose not to. But you know what? The fear is there, Todd. So keep these great programs going. Listen to you all the time. And thank you so very much.
Suzanne, you're very kind. Hang tight. Grace is going to get your info there. I want to go to Oregon. Tom is listening to us on KYKN. And Tom, the trivia question already got answered, but I know you wanted to talk about our good friend Larry Elder.
Yeah, I think it's great that you're in Salem, coming out of Salem and in Oregon. And Larry is excellent. I've listened to him for quite a while, and I think everybody should contribute, because that would really be a great example of what the conservative right could do by electing Larry Elder as the governor.
And of course, hopefully, Tom, you guys there in Oregon are under the gun. I mean, there are a lot of conservatives in your state. We've just got to figure out a way to get those folks, mobilized.
Yeah, really, really. They should, as bad as they're screwing up Portland, maybe there's a slight chance if there's a somebody that's willing to run in that crazy city. We moved out in 92 out of Portland, and actually our family moved out of LA in 63. So, back then, Oregon had a great education system. I was doing C's in eighth grade and came into Oregon. I was doing F's.
Is that right?
It was a shocker. Yeah.
Well, Tom, we appreciate you listening to us. We love all of our listeners on KYKN. What a terrific radio station. And we're going to do our best to get out there sometime between now and the end of the year and maybe do a book signing, a book event with the folks there at the radio station. So keep listening and give us a call back, 844-747-8868, toll-free number. Let's go to North Carolina. Keith, listening to us on The Talk Station. All right, Keith, what's going on? What's on your mind?
I'm going to add, what was it Father McKay would say? Jocularity, jocularity. You remember on MASH?
MASH, what? Father Mulcahy, what a great show.
That actually, that was a, they got that from the book Catch 22, by the way. If you've never read the book, you ought to read it. It's funny. It's very funny.
Now, let me ask you this, Keith, though. But now, before we get into what you're going to talk about, now, MASH, correct me if I'm wrong, was that not originally a movie that they turned into the TV series?
Yeah, yes, it was. Yes, it was, the idea came from the book, Catch 22.
Well, I did not realize that. I will say this, it was a great show, but it was always, and I remember the movie being really, the theme song was about suicide. Suicide is painless, I think, was the name of the theme song. So there's always this dark edge to MASH.
Well, to military. And, you know, Klinger, I'm going to throw this out there very briefly, but the whole idea of Catch 22 is they had to do with flight missions. And if you wanted to go on a flight, on a mission, you must have been crazy. And if you wanted to get out of the military, you must have been sane. So you were caught in Catch 22. That's Klinger.
That's good old Jamie Farr from Toledo, Ohio. So, all right, Keith, go. We're on a big tangent here. Let's get back to it. Are you going to carry papers?
Yes, I am. I'm going to carry a roll of toilet paper with me. And if they ask me for papers, I'm going to give them a piece of it and say, this is a bunch of crap.
Keith, I love it. I love it. Keith.
I'm coming through Memphis in 2 weeks. Is I-40 open again, the bridge?
You know, it is. I-40 is open. We'll give you a traffic report here on the Todd Stearns radio show. I-40 eastbound and westbound open for traffic. But, Keith, you're going to love this. When they reopened the bridge, and of course, you know, there was a massive break in one of the support beams, so they had to repair
the video.
Yeah, they were afraid it was going to fall into the river. It's interesting, when they reopened the bridge, the folks in Tennessee said, hey, you folks in Arkansas, you can be first across. Just honest to goodness, true story.
You guys have a great weekend.
All right, Bye. Keith, have a good weekend. It is a true story, ladies and gentlemen. So the mayor of West Memphis, Arkansas, was the very first person to cross the bridge. And after they saw it was okay, they reopened it for everybody. All right, look, got to take a break here. Another trivia question for you. Which major TV network aired the I Love Lucy show? Celebrating Lucille Ball's birthday today, which major TV network carried I Love Lucy? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. ToddStearns.com. You can download our podcast and newsletter. Lots of great stuff for you to check out there. We'll be right back, America. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us. There is a very important court case that you need to be aware of that is making its way through the federal court system. It involves a designer, a web designer in Colorado, and it is a religious liberty issue at its heart. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker lines. We're very honored to have with us Lori Smith, who is the web designer, and also Jake Warner from the incredible law firm of Alliance Defending Freedom. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
Well, I want to start with you, Lori. So why are you in this legal mess right now? What's going on? What happened?
Well, as the owner of 303 Creative, I design one-of-a-kind custom websites for my clients. And while I serve all people, there are certain messages I'm unable to promote using my artistic talent. And I am challenging a Colorado law that is forcing me to violate my deeply held personal beliefs or face punishment from the government. And unfortunately, the 10th Circuit's ruling last week allows the state of Colorado to continue to force me to violate those beliefs or face punishment.
Now, Jake, you guys are planning to appeal this. What are the issues? This is clearly a First Amendment case. What are the issues that Lori is facing here?
That's right. We're appealing this case up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The issue in this case is one like we've seen around the country. Can the government force creative professionals to express messages that go against their deeply held religious beliefs? And the First Amendment says the answer to that question is no, the government doesn't have that power. And that's a good thing for every American, because the First Amendment doesn't just protect people like Lori, it protects people with different views on life's biggest issues. We don't think, for example, that the government should force a website designer who identifies as LGBT to create websites that promote views of marriage that go against their core beliefs.
And of course, this is really not new in Colorado. I mean, ADF was representing Jack Phillips and did so successfully to all the way to the Supreme Court. And yet there are people out there in Colorado who still believe that Jack Phillips should bow on bended knee to ideologies and things that he finds contrary to his belief system.
We've certainly seen a disturbing trend in Colorado and around the country. You know, government officials and activists are weaponizing our legal system to punish people that they disagree with, and that's wrong, and the First Amendment forbids that kind of activity.
Lori, I'm curious about your business. You mentioned there are just some things that you cannot create because it would violate your conscience. Did you, as a business owner, did you ever imagine that you would be in a situation where you would have to make those kinds of decisions?
Well, I think it's safe to say, you know, I started my business in 2012. And when I started my business, it was because I grew up surrounded by entrepreneurs, small business owners. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to create art, and my canvas is website design. I do that online. But unfortunately, a couple years into my business, as I started to look into how I could grow my business, Jack and the news was pretty prominent, and I thought to myself, it's clear how the state is treating him. I wonder if they can do the same to me, which is why I worked with Alliance Defending Freedom, and I began challenging this law almost 5 years ago. I did not think I'd have to, but I do believe that the right to speak freely is worth protecting, because it's not just for everyone. It is for everyone, not just those who agree with the government.
Jake, you know, you guys have a very long history of representing clients like Lori. What is that like for you? I mean, this is, you know, many of you guys could be making bazillions of dollars at some of the top law firms in America, but you've made a choice to do this. These cases, you guys don't charge your clients. Why are you doing this?
It's a real joy to represent people like Lori. Like you said, we represent people like her all across the country. You know about Jack Phillips in Colorado, but we've also represented Baronelle Sussman, a florist in Washington. We represented two filmmakers in Minnesota, a painter and calligrapher in Arizona, and then photographers all up and down the East Coast. And these people just want to live consistently with their faith without fear of government punishment. And that's a right that our Constitution promises these people. So it's a really big joy for us here at ADF to advocate for these brave people's freedom.
You see, I like that. I mean, I'm with you. It is a joy, and it's a joy to be able share those stories and, you know, help get the word out, because these are, it's so important, because ultimately, Lori, if they can shut you down, I mean, one day they could shut this microphone down. So, I mean, I appreciate you taking a stand as well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court also sees there's value in protecting these rights for all people, and, you know, including myself.
And Jake, what is that process like now? So you're going to appeal to the Supreme Court. When will you find out if the Supreme Court takes up the case?
We probably won't find out until later this year. We'll file our petition for appeal in the next couple of months or so, and then it'll take a few months after that to find out whether the court's going to hear the case. And we certainly hope it does, because what's at stake in Lori's case is something that's critical for the freedom of every American.
Oh, well said. All right. Well, folks, we have links to Alliance Defending Freedom and all the information about Lori's case on our website, toddstearns.com, and you can access that very easily. Jake, Lori, good luck to you. We're going to be following this case very closely, and let's hope for a great outcome at the Supreme Court.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness. Can you believe this, folks? I mean, you've got a business owner just trying to run her business, and you've got these radical folks out there that really, this is all about court cases, and they're hunting these people down. Honestly, these people are predators out there, and they're going after people like the Jack Phillips of the world and the Loris of the world, and they're trying to shut them down and trying to punish those folks. So I'm glad Lori is being proactive here, and let's see if the Supreme Court will, in fact, pick up this case. So I got a note from one of our folks out in Maine listening to us on WLOB. Now, I am going to butcher, Grace, I'm going to butcher the name of this campground. But this is sort of important because you were on vacation.
Yeah.
Now, are you, before I get into this story, I am curious about Grace Baker and Mr. Grace Baker, Mr. Call Screener. When you guys go out on vacation, are y'all like a Ritz-Carlton crowd or like, you know?
I'm definitely not part of the roughing it crowd. I'm kind of in the middle.
So your camping is like Holiday
Inn.
Glamping. All right, it's glamping. All right.
I don't do the woods.
What about you, Avery? Are you like a glamper or do you do the, are you like camping, you know, with like a sleeping bag? Oh, we don't have Avery. He must have run out for a break or something.
Oh, no, I'm right here.
Oh,
right,
okay. Here.
Sorry about that. But yeah, it's been a while since I've been camping. But unfortunately, like I said, it's been a while. But yes, I sleep in a sleeping bag in a tent.
Really?
I prefer that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you see, I would think I'm with Grace. I'm not a big camper. So if I'm going to camp, it's going to be at the Ritz-Carlton. It'll be at the Four Seasons.
I just don't like bugs. That's my main thing.
That's what bug spray is for.
Can I share my
tiki torches and stuff? Mm.
Can I share my concern? This is an honest to goodness true story. We were on a church outing. This was back when I was in college, and we were in Yosemite. We were in California. It was a long trip, and so the college kids, you know, we got no money, so we all decided we were going to camp out. And for whatever, you know, they have a lot of bears. They have bears in California, so we're camping out, and one of the guys in our group loved bologna. And Doritos.
Yeah.
And so he ate bologna and Doritos, and then everybody like bunks down for the night. And so every time the guy, I mean, if you're going to eat bologna and Doritos, guess what's going to happen? You're going to burp, right?
Of course.
Yeah. And every time he burped, you could smell the bologna for a good country mile. And I don't mean to be gross, but I'm thinking here, wow, if we can smell that, you know the bears are going to be able to smell that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And all I can think, there I was in my sleeping bag, and, you know, my thinking was, that bear's going to show up, and the bear's not going to want bologna and Dorito guy. He's going to want the Tootsie Roll. So, you know, and I didn't want to be a Tootsie Roll. So
that's fair. That's
I bet yeah. he's that was one the last of those non-bathing people, too, we were talking about earlier.
Could be. Could
talking
be.
About the bears can smell that.
Well, so when you are roughing it and stuff like that out in the woods, yeah, there's not a whole lot of options you got. Like, when I did go camping, like, a long time ago, it would just be like, oh, I need to shower, so therefore I'm going to go take a little slight dip in the river real quick and then dry myself off afterwards.
I went camping one time, it was with the church youth group, and I hated it so much. I was like, I'm never doing this again.
Can I, you know, I just, and that's the thing. When you go camping with like 70 other people, that's not camping. That's a refugee center.
I mean, I was sleeping in a tent with like eight other girls. About? It was terrible.
That's horrible. That
talk about smelly. It's smelly.
The only thing worse than camping with the church youth group were the lock-ins. Remember those? Did you guys do the lock-ins?
Yes, we did it at Incredible Pizza.
Why? Why do you do that? Why?
It was fun. You stayed up the whole night. You did it for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You got to go ride go-karts and stuff.
But then you have to go sleep. Have you ever had to chaperone one of those things?
Oh, no.
I mean, by midnight, by midnight, you're out of it. It's like, okay. It's.
I'd say up till about 5 or 6. I mean, that those went to like 7 a.m. in the morning.
I used to hate, those were like lost weekends. Because you go home on Saturday
it's
morning
very confusing.
And you sleep. That's all you do is
then
sleep.
Then you wake up and it's time to go back to church.
Yeah, I would stay awake for a really long time. I remember the one church lock-in I was actually a part of. Because my church didn't really do them that for very, very long. Or whatever, but yeah, the one church lock-in I did have the chance to go to, I remember sleeping on a table in a Sunday school room. So
what?
A table? I never fell asleep at those things.
I brought a sleeping bag.
I fell asleep watching The Prince of Egypt. So
okay, that's
that is a good Baptist church lock-in. So
I think
that's one of my favorite movies. Don't.
I think what ended up happening is, like, the Prince of Egypt started playing, and then I woke up to them watching The Road to El Dorado, and so I was very confused as to what was happening.
Ooh, two very different movies.
What about Talladega Nights? That's a good church youth group movie.
Okay.
That is not a good church.
I saw that recently. I know now.
All right, kids, circle around. Here's how not to live your life. Take notes. That's what I would have done.
Ricky Bobby.
You see, that's why I don't have to chaperone anymore. Sagadahoc, that's the name of the place in Maine, guys. Sagadahoc, and I know I'm butchering this name, so if you folks in Maine want to, you know, give me the what for, go ahead. Everybody else has this week. Sagadahoc Bay Campground. As of August 1st, all adult campers coming to Sagadahoc Bay Campground must be vaccinated and be able to show proof. If you have made reservations prior to this date and have selfishly refused to get a vaccine, please call for a refund.
Selfishly? It literally says that?
Selfishly, yes. Wow. SagBayCamping.com is the website.
Ooh. Talk about discrimination right there.
We are imposing this new mandate because we pride ourselves on keeping all campers and campground personnel safe to enjoy their time here on the Maine coast. When you arrive here, you must wear face masks at all times. You have to maintain a safe distance from others. You have to wash your hands often.
That just doesn't sound like a good time to me.
Washing
hands part's totally fine, obviously, but you know,
well, unless you're Matthew McConaughey, so.
That too, yeah. That is a requirement. You do have to wear, there should be a mandate for that. You should have to wear deodorant.
Can we go back to something here? I want to go back to this. I just thought about this. Okay. So let's go back to Ashton Kutcher, and they're not bathing their kids for weeks on end.
Yeah.
What happens when the kid wants to reach into, like, the Wonder Bread to make a PB&J sandwich?
Yeah.
With those nasty fingers, you know? I mean, they're not washing their hands.
Oh, gosh. It's too okay. I hope most people have finished their lunch at this point. You're bringing
that
up.
That's all I'm asking. All right, we'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, just a reminder, if you have not already done so, get a free subscription to our newsletter. You can do that at toddstarnes.com. We don't charge you a penny, and we don't sell your information. And it's free of charge. You say, well, Todd, how is it free? Well, we have subscribed. We have people that want to sponsor us, and those sponsors cover the cost. So you will get a newsletter from us every single day with all of the big conservative news stories that you will not find anywhere else. And I'm telling you, if you're on Facebook for any amount of time, you know that you are being censored, and they are... They're not allowing you to read this content. So get yourself a a subscription to the newsletter. It'll make Avery's day. Guys, there's a story from Business Insider. They were talking to baristas. Those are the people that make the coffee, that serve the coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We used to call that back in the day. That person was called a waitress.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyway, but they call them baristas now, and they charge you, you know, what, $30 for a cup of coffee? Used to cost a quarter.
Something like that.
And yep. So they asked the baristas what annoys them the most, and they offered 8 rules of coffee shop etiquette.
Oh, dear Lord.
Can't wait to hear this.
Well, they want you to keep the line moving, so don't dilly-dally.
Okay, I agree with that, too.
They say the customer is not always right.
Honestly, that is true as well. But
really? You, yeah.
But, listen, but, I hear, I mean, some of these drink orders. It ain't right, that's for sure.
Number 3, yeah. Don't demand service with a smile.
Ooh.
That's awful.
That's
terrible. I know, it's terrible.
I don't expect you to be like grinning ear to ear, but just, you know, be a little nice.
I don't like it when I go into any sort of store or whatever where I see someone working and I have to interact with them and they have like their AirPods or their earbuds
The worst.
I hate that because that's just, I mean, I already know you probably don't really want to be there. But that's the icing on the cake for me.
They also say be patient and make yourself comfortable, but not too comfortable.
I agree with that.
They said there was some guy in a coffee joint with his bare feet on the coffee table.
Ew. Boundaries, people.
Yeah.
Ooh. Somebody tell Matthew McConaughey to put his shoes on.
Yeah, really.
What's wrong with you? Get some odor readers, for God's sakes. All right, this has been a weird day, weird show, weird week, but we got Grace back, Avery is back, and you know what? All is right with the world. All right, folks, it has been a lot of fun. Want to thank Kyle and JP, Avery and Grace, Alan filling in. We've had a great week. Folks, get out there, have a good Friday. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, and be good America.